you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. I'm Mark Schanowski. Over the weekend, we had a unique opportunity to answer some questions from loyal Bulls fans via the Bulls Reddit crew. It was myself, Kendall Gill, Horace Grant, and Will Perdue. In addition to answering questions, we also got some great stories. We hope you'll enjoy what went on.
Hey, Bulls Reddit fans, welcome to our downtown Chicago studio. I'm Mark Schanowski, and of course, you know all these guys, former Bulls players, Will Perdue, Kendall Gill, and Horace Grant. We're happy to answer your questions here, and you can get more coverage, of course, on the My Teams by NBC Sports app. So we're going to start off kind of going around the horn. Will, I'll ask a question that I know that you can go at great length. I don't know if brevity's appreciated or not in this, but this is a loaded one. What was it like playing for both Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich, and what were some of the biggest coaching differences you saw between the two?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'll say they were both, you know, Hall of Fame coaches by far. How I'll separate the two is that Phil did an excellent job, and I think Horace could second me on this, of assigning responsibility to the coaches. I know people, you know, talk about how great of a coach Phil was, but the one thing he did was when he gave somebody responsibility, whether it was a player or a coach, he expected them to live up to that responsibility and accountability. One, meaning Tex Winter, he handled the offense, and Phil left him alone. And we would start practice every day by going 30 to 45 minutes, just going over the triangle, running the plays, repetition, repetition, repetition. And then the next phase of practice was then Johnny Bock would step in and then start going over the defense. I mean, there were times in practice where Phil maybe said 10 words because of the fact that Johnny Bock and Tex Winter were running practice. And then he would always have something to say at the end of practice. Now, one of the other things about Phil Jackson was is that at times he found ways to push everybody's buttons. And whether that was by motivating somebody, belittling somebody, he always found ways to get the best out of you, regardless of if it aggravated you or if it motivated you. Probably the biggest difference between the two was, and this is what to me separates the two, Greg Popovich was a guy who not only was concerned about you as a player, but also as a person. And I'm not saying Phil wasn't, but Phil didn't really show that sensitive side to the players as Pop did. I mean, even to this day, when I see Greg Popovich, he'll ask me how I'm doing, and you start to give him an answer, and he'll grab your arm and be like, hold on a minute. No BS. How are you doing? How's the family? How's the health? What's the latest? Because he truly cares and has a relationship with all his players. And I think that truly separates the two, was maybe more so what Pop did off the floor than anything else.
Well, was Phil smoking on the
We don't know. What he might have been doing a little something. He had to do something to alleviate that back pain.
You got a question.
Yep, so I have a question for Kendall here.
All right.
I didn't even know this, but, I mean, we're learning this.
We got great fans out there.
We're learning this from the Reddit people. And I'll is this the person that actually submitted the question? Okay, this is from I'm a Rock. Mr. Kendall Gill, what was your experience starring in the episode of the 90s Nickelodeon sitcom, My Brother and Me?
Oh,
Kendall
my God.
Gill hey. At the bazaar.
Hey, he's just reading what's
Kendall
on the card.
Gill.
I'm just reading what's here, man. I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, and actually, that's what a lot of people know me for is because I was on My Brother and Me. I was on for one episode, and it ran for I don't know, 10, 12 years, you know. But
so you getting those residual checks like Seinfeld, I still get like six cents?
Actually, I still get the residual checks. I'll get 50 cents every now and then. So, but the thing about it was a great experience, but nobody knows. I was really sick during that episode. I used to suffer from cluster headaches, and I was going through an episode at that point. And it took, I had to actually, when we were shooting the episode, I would actually have to take breaks to go and take a shot, which is what I did when I treated my headaches, and I would have to lay down for half an hour. So I held everything up. Those people are probably still mad at me, but I had a great experience, and I'm glad the guys recognized and asked you a question about that.
Kendall's in his trailer.
And I'll tell you something. There was a little girl there. Her name is Amanda Beals. She is now a huge comedian. She has her own HBO special.
Fantastic.
And she's doing really well. And she shouted me out on her Instagram page. So, hey, thanks for remembering me, Amanda.
You got your SAG card?
I got my SAG card and everything. Yeah. I did Pacific Blue, too. Oh. I got to bring all my skits in for you guys.
You got a question?
Yeah, I got a question for Horace.
All right.
Okay? Now, what is it like to win titles for multiple franchises, and how does that affect which franchise you call home?
Oh, man. 1987, when I got drafted by the Bulls, you know, this is home. You know,
okay.
No disrespect to, you know, Orlando not winning a title, mm-hmm. Winning a title in L.A., but once you get drafted and you help a franchise like the Bulls
right.
win multiple mm-hmm. championships, this is home.
Right.
I mean, from the fans, the city, what the city has to offer. I can do it without this damn cold weather. But other than that, this is home.
All right.
This is for Mark.
All right.
How can we help get you to join Stacey King
hey.
When Neil Funk retires?
Hey.
Because there
you
we go.
And okay. Stacey have great chemistry, play by play when you filled in.
Well, I appreciate that sentiment. That's very kind of you to say. And you know, Stacey and I have known each other. I covered him back when he was playing. You know, so we go way back. And Stacey always had a larger than life personality. Of course, he was an All American player at Oklahoma, one of the top picks in the draft when he came out. When he came here to work, we used to sit in our back room watching games, and I just got to know Stacey a little bit. You know, I really get to know him. Mm-hmm. And the guy has got a big heart. He's a lot of fun to be around. And, you know, what he brings to the broadcast has made him as popular as he is with Bulls fans and really basketball fans around the country who get a chance to check out Bulls broadcast. Love to hear Stacey and his passion and his enthusiasm he brings. So when I got the opportunity to do the one game in Toronto earlier this year, I knew it was going to be a blast to work with Stacey, because it's just like, you know, putting on a pair of comfortable old shoes. We're old friends,
yeah, yeah.
And you know, we get along well, and I knew it would just be an evening of enjoying a basketball game, but also getting a chance to talk with a guy that I really respect. The Bulls have brought in a number of great broadcasters from around the country. They're going to try out a number of different people you'll see over the last couple of months. And if I get another chance to do it, I would welcome that with open arms. But as at this moment, I'm not scheduled to do any more this year. We've got a question for Will. And this one is interesting. I used to think about this, too, when I was watching games. You know, throughout the championship years, there was usually like at least three centers, if not four at times.
Yep.
Call it the three-headed monster. And the question is from a guy named Chandler Curry is his handle, saying, was there ever a pecking order or ego involved within that three-headed monster? Like someone felt they deserved more minutes or deserved to start over the other two, and how would that manifest itself?
You know, it's kind of interesting because the three-headed monster back then was Luke Longley, myself, and Bill Winnington. And we all provided something different within that rotation. So the interesting thing was we all, and on the road, we all got along quite well. We used to actually hang out together. But one of the things is that we always used to talk about after our careers were over was, you know, the frustration of having to, you know, share time with two other guys. Because even guys that are all-stars, anybody that, you know, has played the game, they always want to play more minutes. That's the whole interesting thing now about guys. Oh, I need rest. I was like, dude, man, I'll play as many minutes as you want me to play. So that was the hard part. And there really You know, the one thing I felt I should maybe have started. Mm-hmm. Luke thought he should start. Bill thought he should start. You know, there's always that ego of NBA players. That's what's got us to that level. But, you know, there really wasn't any fights in practice. You know, there was some disappointment because, you know, you thought you played well one game and that might lead to more minutes the next game. But then the minutes wouldn't come because Phil actually did a pretty good job of dividing those minutes up equally. Now, if a guy was on the floor and playing well, he might get a longer stretch. But it was pretty amazing when the game was over when you look at the stat sheet. And, yes, players look at the stat sheet regardless of what they tell you. You'd be like, man, over 48 minutes – we all kind of played about the same. So that in itself was pretty interesting, but there was always that disappointment of not playing more minutes. All right, let's see here. Here's one for Horace.
Okay.
How did you contain your laughter every time you saw Bill Cartwright shoot a free throw?
Oh, man.
Well, if you know Bill –
what are you laughing at?
You don't want to laugh at him.
No.
Bill had the sharpest elbows.
That's the truth.
Ever. And if you laugh at Bill during a game, he will get you in practice. Just ask Will.
Oh, yeah.
And who else? Was Bill Willington?
Yeah,
or
you got
Stacey?
Bill. But the best thing about, remember, the best thing about Bill was that one year we start practice.
Mm-hmm.
We are literally warming up. First day of camp opening, we're just warming up, running backwards. Bill's not paying attention, hits this guy square in the head with his elbow, puts him out for a week. The first day of training camp. I mean, literally hits him in the face. His nose explodes. There's blood all over the place. And then Bill always had that look. He hardly ever smiled. He had that look of disgust, like, how dare you get in the way of my elbow?
Well, you just don't want to, you know, if you want to laugh at Bill Cartwright, turn your back. Okay. Okay. All right, Mark.
Yeah.
Is there any current or previous Bulls player of the last 8 years that you believe can have a promising career in broadcasting after they leave the court?
Last 8 years. Yeah. Let me try to think about that.
I'm glad I've been gone for.
You know, it seems like a lot of guys want to get into broadcasting after they're done with their playing careers. I'm trying to think of guys that were really great interviews during that time. Taj Gibson would be
Taj,
the guy,
yeah.
Because you know he's just so well spoken and he's very honest. He doesn't BS people,
right.
and he knows the game so well. I think Taj would be really good after he's done.
Yeah, I think Taj would be good.
Kirk's pretty shy, you know. He doesn't really enjoy the public spotlight. You know, he's got a number of kids. He's enjoying. He's living in North Dakota, I think now.
Yeah, he's coaching up there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he's enjoying his life with his family and doing things in the coaching realm. So I don't think Kirk would be a guy that'd be interested in broadcasting. The one guy you knew was going to be good was Steve Kerr.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Steve Kerr had a gift for gab. He got that biting, witty sense of humor, that sarcastic. Do you see what he said today? He says we're all NBA players are like actors in a soap opera. He was asked about Kevin Durant being angry the other night. He goes, "Hey, we're all playing a role in this NBA soap opera." So he goes, "No, really, we are." So Steve, of course, did wonderful work at TNT.
He did.
Before
yes.
he went in,
and we'll go
coaching.
Back after he's done coaching too.
I'm sure he'll get another chance to do that. All right, this is a loaded question here from Jerry Curley. And any of you guys can chime in on this. Kendall, we'll start with you. How many years do you think it's going to take for the Bulls to be title contenders again?
Five.
Well, that was a quick answer.
Yeah, I think it's going to take at least 5 years for these guys. And the reason why I say that is because you have to keep a team together that long for them to really know each other. You look at Horace's team with Will and Michael and those guys. How long were you guys together? Maybe 4 or 5 years before you won a title? Yeah, and you have to go through the rigors of losing and building your confidence up and to become a champion. So I think it's going to lead.
You got to find that superstar too, because every team is built around multiple superstars.
Multiple superstars, and who knows? That may be Larry Markkinen. It may be Zach LaVine. If it's Zion Williamson, if they get the number one pick, if it's Ja Morant, but they do have the ingredients to do it.
You know, the interesting thing is when we were on Sports Talk Live yesterday, I made the comment and we talked about, well, who was the last team to not win with a superstar? Well, somebody reached out to me, and you might have said it, I think, even, and I got a couple tweets
later. Glenn Morgan and the crew said Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
But the way the league has gone now, you kind of have to have that superstar.
Almost always.
And I'd say 99.9% of the time now. But, you know, that's the thing we have to find. And I like Kendall's answer because of the, and, you know, because you have to let these young guys grow some. But, you know, we could accelerate the process if we could find that superstar. But the one thing I will say about Pax's comment is at the current moment, as disappointing as it is, we're not there yet. We don't know what these guys are, and we have to give these young guys more time to grow. So maybe one of them becomes a superstar, and then guys want to come play with them. And that's kind of what we're sitting on pins and needles and waiting for. But patience is hard to come by.
Horace, did you hear what your guy, Scottie Pippen, said the other day on The Jump?
No.
He said that Zion Williamson is the most impactful prospect to come into the NBA since Michael Jordan. He skipped Shaq and LeBron and everybody else. He went all the way back to MJ. Now, I don't know how much you've watched of Duke basketball this year, but
yes.
Is he, you know, he's 6'7", 285. Could he be like a Charles Barkley, or you think Barkley was more skilled or less skilled, or how do you compare those two?
Well, my man Pip. Let me talk to you first, dude. Give me some of that you're smoking.
Maybe him and Miller aren't together right now.
I wasn't going to say anything, but you know.
But this young man, Zion, is going to be an impact player for sure. I put him in the realm of a Charles Barkley in terms of the skill level. He don't shoot the ball. He doesn't shoot the ball as well as Charles did in college. I don't know if Charles shot the ball in college. But in terms of passing.
He was the round mound of rebound like that.
His skill set, absolutely. But impact since MJ?
Yeah.
What, Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, Tim Duncan. Yeah. You can go on and on. Yeah. Kendrick Gill, Horace Grant. No. I disagree with Scott on that, but he is going to be an impact player.
Let's stick with Horace on this one. This is from the handle is You Not Lying. It says, everyone knows about the untold Jordan stories. I don't know if you know about it, if they're untold. he says, Horace, can you give us an untold Pippen story?
Untold Pippen? Well, let's put it this way. If you're a waitress or a waiter.
Oh. We all know this.
Hey, if he don't like you,
we all know
you're not going to get a tip if he doesn't like you.
What was his nickname, Horace?
Hey, let me tell you something. Hey,
what was his nickname?
Let me tell you.
His nickname?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody know. No Tippin' Pippin.
No Tippin' Pippin. Hey, listen.
That's my dude, though.
And I love Scotty, okay? But back when we were playing in the offseason, Scotty had a boat. Then I had a boat, okay? And we would sometimes go to the same marinas, you know, because around the Chicagoland area, that's where you would go to hang out. And sometimes you would go to gas up. And I went to the boat dock one time, and after I got done gassing up, I get a guy tip. He's like, oh, good, you're not like Scotty.
All right, now here, mentioning that, I have a question for Horace in relation to Scotty, since we're on getting on Scotty, right?
So he's not here to defend us.
So our strength coach back then, well, the assistant strength coach was a kid from Wisconsin by the name of Eric Helen. Mm-hmm. So Eric had this four-wheel drive, and he was a hunter, a country guy.
Yeah.
Talked about four-wheeling. And I remember Horace, or maybe even Scotty, mentioned four-wheeling. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, man, you go out in the woods and you get go mudding and all this stuff. So there was a story, and I need a confirmation on this or not, that you guys and everybody had dealer cars back then. Mm. So the thing was that Scotty apparently had a dealer car from a Chevy dealership.
Yeah.
You guys went four-wheeling. Somehow hit a tree.
Oh, somehow.
Okay. Cracked the radiator.
The tree wasn't moving.
Yeah.
But then you didn't know you cracked the radiator, so you guys were driving to the game, and the car overheated. You ignored it, and it cracked the block on the and blew up the engine.
Part of it is true. We were out in the forest preserve. It was a summertime, and, you know, just having fun. Just Scotty and I, you know, I had a couple of brewskis. And it was rain. Well, it had rain. And it was mud and stuff. So, you know, we were leaving. Scotty was driving, you know, doing the little donuts and stuff. And we were laughing. And then, boom, hit the tree. And I'm like, oh, I'm acting like I'm hurt. And Scotty looked at me, and they called me G. He was like, G, you know damn well you're not hurt. And I just started laughing, man. So he was driving this thing down the road and the smoke everywhere, big dent. So that part is true.
I think the statute of limitations is passed.
Yes, absolutely.
You got a question, KG?
Yeah, I got a question for Horace. And here's a guy, his name is Help I'm a Rock. Did you ever catch any flack or jokes from other players for wearing the Rec-Spec goggles? And thank you for making them cool. You gave this nearsighted kid confidence to wear them in the game without anybody worrying about how he looked.
All right. Much love to you.
Help him rock.
Help him rock. Good. I didn't care what people thought. You know, Scottie Pippen, my dear friend, dared
all
me.
All goes back to Scottie.
Yeah. Dared me to put on the Rec-Spec that night. I had about three or four different pair, and I'm just trying them on. And the pair that I liked, he was like, "You're not wearing that. I dare you." I'm like, "Okay." And that night, the Rec-Spec was born.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So remember, you tried the Kareem ones. You didn't like them.
No, it just didn't fit my beautiful face. No.
Hey, well, I got a question for you from the Shindy asking, what are three steps that you would take to lay the foundation for the Bulls to be a successful franchise again long term? Three big moves.
All right, well, let's just say let's take the core that they have now, including Otto Porter and including Hutchinson. So, and I imagine they're probably going to let Robin Lopez walk, or if they don't buy him out after the end of the season. So I think they need to, one, find a veteran center that doesn't require a lot of playing time so that when they play some of these teams with bigger players – that can take some of the beating that Wendell Carter Jr. cannot, or Lauri Markkanen. I think that's one step. Two, I think as we talked about in the pregame show, you have to find a veteran point guard that if they don't get Zion Williamson and maybe they get Morant, that can be a great leader, but also help in the locker room, but show guys like Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen how to be leaders on the floor and in the locker room, but not be combative, and also continue to find a way to make cap room so that we can possibly go out and get a player in free agency that will have a huge impact, not only on the floor, but also put butts in the seats and get this organization back to where it belongs.
You got something for KG?
Yeah, I do. I've been wanting to ask this question. So this comes from Mustache Mark. How do you continue? And I'm not done yet. Let me finish the question. How do you continue to look 30 years old? Question mark. Eugenics? Question mark.
No, I chose the right parents, man. That's what happened. But no, I work out a lot.
I saw your story on it. Now you're back into the ring again.
Yeah, I eat right. You know, every.
No, you just don't eat, man.
No, I eat, man. Come on, sometimes I eat pizza with you guys. So I
sometimes.
Do. I do splurge, but during the weekend when I'm training seriously, I really have a strict diet. I try to drink a gallon of water a day. The only time I really eat bad is when I come here.
The vending machine.
Because I go to the vending machine. And you know, you can't be still when you get older. As players, when they retire, sometimes people completely stop working out. I don't believe in that. I believe in getting up, doing something each and every day. But, you know, hanging out with this guy, Will Perdue, now he's got me on the executive workout. Steam, sauna, shower.
Let's get this very clear here. We were having a conversation one day because Kendall was, listen, when he was preparing for the big three, he was working out three times a day.
Yeah.
We're like, dude, you're 50 now. You're going to kill yourself. Yeah. Your body just can't respond. I respect what you're doing, but let's knock it down a little bit. And we were joking one day about a Steve Kerr line when he talked about when he was first with Cleveland. He's like, yeah, when I was Cleveland, I heard all about the executive workout, steam, sauna, shower, and then go to get a cocktail. And I just happened to mention that to Kendall. He goes, I'm going to try that. And then he came back and said, I like that. Well, 2 months later, he goes, yeah, man, I can't keep doing this executive workout. It's not working. I didn't force him to do it. Now, what I do is I buy the pizza, and a lot of times he says, I'm not going to have any, and then all of a sudden you're turning around, and I'm killing it.
All right. I have one for you, Horace.
Okay.
Actually, this is a real good one here. How did you and Harvey ever try to make a serious attempt at playing together on the same NBA team, or did the stars never align for that to happen? That was asked by Chandler Curry.
Well, we really couldn't stand to be in the same house. Wow. On the same team. No.
It's like Brooke and Robin Lopez.
No, you know, it just wasn't in the stars. We played at Clemson our freshman year together.
Okay.
Well, I played, and Harvey got redshirted.
Oh.
And he played a year after that with me at Clemson, and then he went to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the universe isn't big enough for the both of us. So. Okay, I got one for you, Mark.
All right.
This is from Bears fan 1024. Favorite Stacey King moment?
Favorite Stacey King as a broadcaster or?
It just says moment. I'm pretty.
Well, you know, we had so much fun down here in the basement watching games. And the funny thing is, you know, if you could hear the conversations that go on during the game, that we could bring unedited to you, you would really love it.
Yeah, you would.
I mean, that's when you get the real truth about what these guys think about different players and coaches around the NBA, what they think about coaching strategy and what's going on. We bring some of that to the air, but we have to kind of modify that a little bit. But, you know, the Stacey King call, the favorite one was the one in Phoenix when Derek exploded over Goran Dragic. Did you not get the memo? He's from Chicago. I mean, that thing was played for days on SportsCenter and every national media outlet, and you still hear it anniversary of that. So that's my favorite call of Stacey. But really, the best thing about him is, like I said, he's got a big heart. He's been a great friend, and it's a privilege to call him a friend.
You know, the interesting thing is to laugh. I mean, Horace and I can tell stories galore about Stacey because he'd get on the plane, oh, baby, come on, baby.
Yeah.
But probably one of the biggest mistakes he made was that, you know, everybody always talks about their college career and the things you did in college, and this was when Stacey was young. And for whatever reason, when we were started flying charter, you know, you had back and then, we had the VHS, so we would watch movies and stuff. Well, Stacey decided to bring an Oklahoma highlight tape.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And we're all just sitting there, and all of a sudden he puts it in. Well, it shows it over the whole plane.
Yeah, yes.
And all of a sudden, here comes MJ walking up to the front of the plane. Who the hell's this? I want to say it's Stacey King, but it looks nothing like him. Stacey's like, listen here, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, hey, man, if that's the way you played in college, this is the guy we need in the NBA.
Remember in his introductory press conference, he goes, yeah, it's going to be Air Jordan and Sky King.
No,
I mean, come on. I think he did lead the nation in scoring.
He did.
He did.
He was at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So when he came in, a lot of people thought he was going to be the first pick in the draft.
Right.
I think he went down to number six.
Right.
But he came into a burgeoning dynasty with the Bulls, thinking he'd walk right in. And, like, I'm Stacey King, All-American.
Right,
But Michael had a way of humbling people, didn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Horace Grant is ACC Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Triple Crown winner. Scoring, rebound, field goal percentage. Man, I was doo-doo. You have to work your way in. And so, you know, I didn't have a highlight tape like Stacey.
You know, the crazy thing about Michael is we were playing you guys one time, and Ron Harper, he got on Ron Harper, and he was just cussing Ron Harper out and everything. That's like, and I looked at Ron, I was like, you going to take that, man? You going to let him talk to you like that? He was just like,
what am I going to do?
I can't believe this, man.
Oh, yeah.
So but, the myth is real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, plus you ain't want to get traded.
All right, we're going to wind this down pretty soon. I just want to ask any of you guys, is there one question in your cards that you really wanted to get to that we haven't gotten to yet?
I think we hit them all.
Let me answer.
I can answer this one.
Okay.
This is from Chandler Curry again. As of today, who would win a game of 21 but 3-3? I mean, there's no doubt about it. It'd be Kendall Gill. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, man. Here's what I have for you, Horace.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq or Penny, Shaq or Kobe?
Ooh. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That is a great one. Wow. Gosh. I mean, I would have to give Shaq and Kobe the edge just a little bit because they won three titles.
Yeah.
But Penny and Shaq, the combination, a young Shaq, a healthy Penny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, I was there.
Yeah.
And I was watching it. These two young guys in Orlando was phenomenal. Oh, man. But I give Shaq and Kobe the edge because of the championships.
Well, I got one last one for you. Somebody asked about, there was a feature done on you on SportsCenter when you came back for the Bulls the second time, talking about being part of the dynasty and then coming back and playing for the Tim Floyd Bulls that were really starting from scratch. What were your thoughts about the piece and that whole time in your life?
Well, I remember I was in the process of signing an extension with the Spurs, and then Jerry Krause called Arntell, my agent, said, hey, we want you to come back and help this young team. We got all these draft picks. You know, we want you to teach them what it's like to, you know, be part of this organization and what it means to you. So I was actually honored to come back and do that. I thought the piece was done pretty good, but what I didn't realize is what I was getting myself into.
You were too honest?
As far as, you know, I was kind of like, it's a way for me to come back home. I was fortunate enough to win another championship in San Antonio. Okay, I got four. Let's go back and start this whole rebuild thing. And there was a reason why, you know, partly joking here, but there was a reason why, you know, Tim Floyd was seen in a lot of establishments late at night. There was a lot going on behind the scenes.
Those were tough times.
Elton Brand
I covered
was great.
Those teams.
Yep, but Ron Artest was a trip, man. Wow.
You mean Metal World Peace?
Oh, back then he was just Ron Artest with his posse.
It was funny seeing that thing devolve. You know, Jerry Krause talking about it was going to be the last dance in the 97-98 season, and then there was the lockout, so they only had the 50-game season the following year, and you'd see guys like Randy Brown and Bill Wennington and Tony Kukoc that first year, and they're looking around, and they're seeing the guys that used to be MJ,
right,
you know, and Rodman and Pip, and they're looking at, oh, my God. Because, you know, the funny thing is, remember, I'm sure a lot of the fans remember this, at the beginning of that season, they would, you know, dim the lights, and now the starting lineup for your world champion, Chicago, after about 10 games, they go, oh, no, that they should. Ray Clay was not doing that anymore because that was not the world champion Bulls. Well, this has flown by. Great questions from all of you at Bulls Reddit. We appreciate it very much. Hopefully we can do it again before the season ends. We'll look ahead to the draft and get out all your lucky charms. Hopefully we bring in Zion Williamson to usher in a brand new era of winning basketball.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we had a great time. And as always, make sure to download the My Teams by NBC Sports app. All kinds of great features and extra fun coming that way. So again, thanks for all the wonderful questions. Hope we can do it again real soon.
We hope you enjoyed that. We had a lot of fun doing it. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do it again before the season comes to a close. Remember, you can find all of our Bulls Talk podcasts presented by Coors Light at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcast. You can also listen and subscribe at Google Play, Stitcher, and Apple. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We'll see you again real soon.